I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Hey, man. Good morning. How do you do?
Hey, man.
Want to talk about the boys in blue.
Hey, man.
Now that you've been here a year, what's your favorite KCQ?
Hey, man.
What's new in the clubhouse, the bullpen and the lineup too?
Hey, man.
How was the road trip? Bob and Dusty want to know.
Hey, man.
What do you think of Slugger and FM radio?
My favorite part.
Yeah. You are listening to 96.5 The Fan, KFNZ, FM, AM, HD, and HD2. I don't know if I'm doing this right.
HD1, HD2, Kansas City.
And markers are.
Hey, we'll never be Josh.
Legally, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll never be Josh. But
none of us will.
Something happened over this weekend that merited a friend of the show to come
on. Phil Lesh passed away, one of the great members of the Grateful Dead, so we figured we'd bring on our resident Dead expert, Matt Quattrero, to talk about the passing of Phil Lesh. Your thoughts, Matt?
Oh, I thought you had me on to talk about cheese blankets.
Yes!
We can do
He's
that,
back,
too.
Baby!
You're back! Yeah, man, you're back, and better than ever, and so are your pitchers with Michael Wacha getting signed back in the fold. We'll get on Wacha here in just one second, but how's the offseason been for you? What's been going on? Big honey-do list? What is the offseason been like?
I'm just trying to spend as much time with the kids and my wife as possible. You know, we got all the typical stuff: soccer, basketball practice, birthday parties, some yard work, all the fun stuff.
Well, you should come out on Saturday at the Landing in Liberty and join us from 2 to 6, or 2 to 4, I should say. We're doing a meet and greet for our friend Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio, and we're going to be there as well. If you want to come out and eat chicken fingers, you're more than welcome to do so.
Or cheese blankets.
Or cheese blankets.
Well, if chicken fingers are involved, my kids will be there. I might have to bring them.
Yeah, you can absolutely bring them. I'll shoot you the address a little bit later on. We'd love to have you out there. There's going to be a dignitary out there as well that wants to meet both Dusty and Mac, who puts sour cream in her purse and brings it to Mexican restaurants. So that's coming as well. So
that
will be there as well. Sour cream for you.
Hey, go ahead.
So getting Wacha signed back up, how much does that just kind of take the stress off your plate going, all right, we got this solved going into the offseason?
Well, it was definitely something that we had as a priority. You know, I mean, you know, who knows what would have happened if he had gone to free agency? I mean, we still would have been in the mix, or the player option. You know, you just never know how that stuff's going to work out. But for Mr. Sherman and JJ and Scott to, like, prioritize prior to the free agency starting was great. You know, and I think it's great for us as a team, but it's also great for the message it sends to other possible free agents and to the guys that are still here that, like, you know, we didn't think last year was a fluke. We thought we could have, you know, gone further, whatever, however you want to message it, but that, you know, the commitment is there and the desire to win is there.
I thought it was important, as we're talking to Royals manager Matt Quattrero here on 96.5 The Fan. And Matt, I thought it was great because, you know, you guys obviously, you go from, you know, 56 wins to 86 wins. And then in the offseason during the quiet time, which the only time I ever heard quiet time was when my parents wanted to take a nap and they told me I couldn't talk. But you get this done. And to me, it looks like it's the stepping stone of what this team wants to be. You guys are telling everybody, at least in my opinion, we are going to be a playoff team and a threat for the years to come, and it's moves like this that prove that.
Yeah, I mean, that's well said. I mean, I think, you know, no, baseball is definitely not a one-person sport, and no one, you know, player is going to be the answer to everything, but you need a deep team, and to continue to put pitching out on the field like we saw this year was, without question, the biggest change from the previous season. And to have Waka back, you know, he's found some things in his delivery and his pitch mix and all those things to be as successful he is this far into his career, and his desire to keep getting better is something that rubbed off on the team without a doubt. And his work as a teammate is another thing that, you know, you've heard me talk about all year. And those things, I think, are big factors in the growth of the younger players and the guys that are going to be the people to carry the torch moving forward when we keep going the next few years down the road.
Well, it's been a heck of an offseason, like, already for you guys. Obviously, Waka coming back is the big news, but last week we saw Salvi get Man of the Year, the Roberto Clemente Award. I mean, you've had now an opportunity for two seasons to kind of see Salvi do his thing. When somebody says Salvador Perez to you, what do you tell them back in return?
Yeah, you know, first of all, to be able to be on the call to tell Salvi that, you know, to hear the joy in his voice and the excitement and kind of the disbelief that he really won that award was just, it was really emotional, very touching moment because of how much that meant to him as a person and to the work that he's put in and will continue to put in to the community and all, you know, Venezuela, Colombia, all the things that you guys know about what he does. You know, and then he was also recognized with the award, the Stan Musial Award too, for, you know, things, another community-based award in St. Louis. Just the things that Salvi stands for as a person are more impressive than what the fan base knows about him as a player, you know, and his resiliency and posting up every day as a catcher for all these years for the Royals is remarkable. But the person he is and how genuine he is really touching, and that's going to go well beyond his playing career in any walk of life, whether it's here, whether it's in Venezuela, wherever he ends up settling. You know, he's going to be that type of person and change the lives of others for the rest of his life.
I want to get back to the to the Waka signing, because I remember, I don't know how much these stories are true that they put on MLB Network, but I remember Seth Lugo came to Kansas City and then basically was part of the recruiting process of getting Michael Waka here, about how he'd love it, the organization, the coaching staff, the players, and all that sort of thing. Lugo wins Gold Glove. Bobby wins a Gold Glove. Big day yesterday for the team all around, right? You get Gold Gloves, you get Waka signed. But how much of that is true, that this is, you know, the reason why this team, yeah, pitching's great, but more so the reason why it's turned such a sharp corner and gone the right direction, is that it's more of a family-based thing? Because, like, we had George Brett, and he said 14 and 15 gave me a lot of vibes of that when he went to the locker room this year.
Well, that's great to hear from George. You know, I mean, he's got the most experience of anybody in this organization, and to hear him say that, that's great. You know, and I think, when you look at the signings from last winter, those guys took a tremendous leap of faith in believing in what JJ and the organization was saying, and, you know, what direction we were going to go, because there were plenty of guys that if you had asked them, they had no interest in coming here because of the losses. And, you know, for those guys to say, hey, we're going to be the difference makers, we're going to be the people that turn this around, that took a lot of faith by them. And, you know, to reward them for what they've, that faith, and also what they've been able to do as players on the field and people in the locker room, I mean, I think that speaks volumes to who we are and what we stand for. And I think you're going to see that continue to grow as more and more, you know, reps under our belt, so to speak, with bringing new players in. And you know, oh, you got to continue to win, right? I mean, it's a performance industry, and there's no guarantees from one day to the next in this game. So these guys are the kind of people that help you put, like, your chances of stacking good decisions and good people and, you know, good players on top of each other, and you're going to need a lot of them.
What's the pitch this year, Matt, for the free agents like Juan Soto? How are you going to pitch him on Kansas City?
Well, the first thing was you were going to pitch in a large portion of your salary to get us to where we need to be. That was the first pitch.
We got a long way to go, my friend. But I will, if it means getting Juan Soto, let's go. I'll scratch a check, right?
Yeah, no, I, you know, I think, you know, the things that we've done and the people that are in this locker room speak volumes. And, you know, certainly the players like Bobby and Salvi are an attraction for free agents, and the commitment and knowing what Mr. Sherman is committed to the future of the organization. You know, and players want to win. And if they think it's a place that they can win, you know, and the playing time is going to be there, or the innings are going to be there for them, they'll be in. And I think, you know, the thing that we can hang our hat on is we're going to be honest with players. We're going to tell them the opportunity that's there and, you know, how we see the vision going forward. And if it's a fit for them and a fit for us, I don't think it'll be an issue.
Well, I think that's great to hear, because for me, the Waka signing means, like, all right, everybody now should understand what John Sherman's about. He's not screwing around. We want to win here in Kansas City, and he's going to make it possible for you. I mean, to have that from ownership has got to take a lot off your plate and a lot of stress off your plate, knowing that, hey, we're doing the best we can, and ownership is helping out with that cause. A lot of times guys don't do that.
Well, I mean, I can only speak to this organization as a you know, the only place I've managed, so... You know, I had a great feeling in the interview process as soon as I met Mr. Sherman, and the way that his relationship with JJ and Scott and the whole front office, that sets the tone for our day-to-day work, and that sets the tone for the vibe in the whole organization. And I think it's a great place to work. They're really good people that are honest with each other, and sometimes there's disagreements like there should be to keep pushing things forward. But without his support, clearly none of this is possible. And, you know, again, it is a message to the players that want to come here and the ones that are already here that we do want to win. And it's a great message to send, because ultimately, like I said, this is a performance industry, and you got to have people that want to do that and people that are capable of doing that in order to compete.
What is on your wish list for the offseason when it comes to needs for the team?
You know, I think, I'll be honest, I think we need to look at everything. I mean, that's the mentality we need to have, is we can take a step back in one area if you're taking two steps forward in another. And I think that's the creativity we need to figure out how to put the best 26-man, the best 40-man roster together all the time. And those things can evolve, right? I mean, you don't have a fixed 40-man the whole year. You don't have a fixed 26-man. So I think trying to be opportunistic in upgrades where we see areas, you know, I think we need to do that. But I don't think there's any one thing that we have to say, oh, we need this player or we need this position, because we have a lot of athleticism, a lot of versatility, and I think that's what's going to serve us well.
Matt, we appreciate the time. I know it's the off season, and you know, you don't have to do this, but I can tell you this from experience. You do have the city behind you after this year. I can promise you that from everything they've watched. I know that the upper management has done it, and we appreciate the time and can't wait to get to, you know, surprise Arizona and see it all start over again.
Well, thank you guys. No, the support is awesome. I feel it, truthfully feel it, and walking down the street, you know, running into people at stores and restaurants, and it's great to be here in Kansas City, and it's been a lot of fun this year, and hopefully we make it even better next year.
All right, we'll see you for chicken fingers on Saturday.
All right.
Oh, might have cut him off a little early there. I'm sorry there. Somebody did get fired about 25 minutes ago. We'll tell you who on the other side. Dusty Likas, Bob Fesco, Matt.
There's a storm coming. We'll tell you where.
Yeah, you're listening to 96.5 The Fan. That is funny.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Pay off your tees, pay off your tees, pay off your tees. Dennis Allen got fired. Officially, official, official. Dennis Allen got fired.
He did?
He did. He's fired. He got fired right before we had Matt Cotrero on. Thanks to him for coming on the show. I know it's the off season, you know, driving around town. But,
yep. Doing, you know, the kid runs and all that kind of stuff now that he gets to do, because his wife can say, you didn't do anything for 6 months. You got carpool duty right now.
Yes, you do.
God love you, Matt, for that, especially the elementary
schools.
So
in the summertime, it's the same thing. Jen does everything and you get to, like, take off.
Oh, no. Like, they're self-sufficient now, for the most
fair.
Part.
You're getting, you know, like, hit the money age, too.
Close.
They get a little bit more independent. Yep. You know.
Oh, little Miss Independent had herself a time on Saturday night.
What is that? What is that?
Remember, say, tell me more.
Remember when I told you she asked the question about the first time she should drink?
Did it happen?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh no. Little Fesco getting turned.
Did it go well?
That happened, called us immediately crying, went and picked her up.
Well, at least you knew who to call.
That's what I told her. Good. I said, look, what's going to happen. It's going to happen. Immediately called us.
Just got anxious.
I don't know.
It was Southern Comfort.
No, it was not. Do you want to know what it was?
Beer.
No.
Gosh, will I guess it?
Probably not.
Hypnotic?
No. Oh, God.
I'm trying to think is it something like cheap Burnett's
vodka? I got drunk on Hypnotic Martinis with Jim Laird one night.
Was it Boone's Farm?
No. Nope.
Smirnoff?
Nope.
Can I get a clue?
No, because nobody.
We'll give the listeners what they want.
Vodka and Coke.
Whoa. I would have called my own parents crying. I'm telling you, this girl, she made me drink a vodka and Coke. Please come get me.
You know, drinking versus like had a sit, you know, like, but just completely felt like, oh my God, I totally screwed up. I'm calling mom and dad.
See, that's the worst. Like, you're supposed to get something that makes it not taste like anything.
Yeah.
That
sounds terrible.
At least you didn't get Hawaiian Punch. Shout out to those who listen Friday.
Oh, God, yes.
I think that's Taylor Swift's drink, vodka and Diet Coke.
I thought it was vodka cranberry.
I think it's vodka and Diet Coke.
Is it really?
Yeah, there's on the documentary, she makes it in her kitchen, yeah.
She also makes, like, homemade Pop-Tarts.
Mm-hmm. I started watching a Martha Stewart documentary over the weekend.
Dude.
Oh, my. I fell asleep halfway through it. My wife's like, this was the most interesting thing I've ever seen. I go, come on, stop messing with me. She goes, no, I'm being serious. Like,
really?
Yeah,
okay.
I would still do her. I'm dead-ass serious, man. And you know you're getting a damn good meal afterwards if you do the right job. All right, honey, I'm going to go inside the kitchen and put some stuff together. Thank you for getting me there. You're welcome, Martha.
Like, everybody forgets she did jail time, too. Like, nobody cares.
She didn't rat.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Believe me, I'll tell you. So
She's on the same level as Lil' Kim.
I got a good friend that did some jail time for not ratting. You respect people who don't do that,
You know
man.
Who didn't? Tim Allen. You know that story, right?
Did he sing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He got caught with like a bunch of cocaine.
Well, yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
And just told everybody who was involved or everybody that was involved.
You don't do that,
and
man.
He served like no time.
Yeah, you don't do that.
And his mugshot's hilarious. He has like a mustache. It doesn't even look like Tim Allen. Just type in Tim Allen mugshot. Yeah, dude. Tim Allen, big time rat. But yeah, Dennis Allen, we said 5.5 coaches was the over under on coaches fired. Dennis Allen is gone.
Right.
There's a reason why. And I'll tell you why. Somebody tweeted this out 17 hours ago, by the way. This stat is what got Dennis Allen fired. Saints outgained the Panthers by 150-plus yards, ran for 150-plus yards, and won the turnover battle. Over the last 20 years, teams had gone 275-0 with that formula. Now it is 275-1.
Oh,
are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
Get out.
So he got fired for that. I'll take you.
I would assume.
I'll take you one step further. Matt Eberflus, with him on the sidelines, the Bears are 0-18 on the road on Sundays with Matt Eberflus coaching. How that keeps you employed.
Yeah, I saw Big Cat tweeted that out.
Wow.
I was like, that guy's in his feels today.
Well, the Bears fans are all messed up. That's why they don't deserve a winner in Chicago.
On the road on Sundays, right? On the road on Sundays, he's what, 0-17, 0-18?
0-18, like 3-17 on the road overall.
Outgained the Panthers by 150-plus yards, ran for 150 yards, and won the turnover battle, and you lost.
And you lost. That was like that Jets stat they gave last week, wasn't it? Like or was it the Giants? One of the Jets or the Giants? Like all these, I think it was the Giants, right? Like never happened in the history of the NFL, but then it happened to the Jets, I think. I think it was the Jets.
Well, there's the Giants stat that you said this morning with Daniel Jones.
Oh, Daniel Jones, 672 days between touchdown drives for the Giants. In that time, the Chiefs won 2 Super Bowls.
Oh,
that's amazing. And
that's what makes it the worst contract in NFL history. Deshaun Watson's a horrible person, but at least you could say, well, he's probably got some talent. You re-signed Daniel Jones knowing he didn't have talent.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And he looks like Andy Kaufman.
He really does. The more you say that, the more I say
it. Oh, every time it's even with the helmet on or off. Yeah. Hat on, doesn't matter.
Like, he just looks like a dope.
People thought that he was actually dating Kay Adams was a joke. Like, I was like, come on, Kay. She might be dating Shams.
I was going to say, Shams?
It's always been a thing. Yeah. And he just bombarded her show the other day. But yeah, they're good for him, man. If he can land that.
Brioche. Ouch.
Yeah, big time brioche.
No doubt.
Which we'll get into a little bit later. Also, Josh Briscoe will join us tonight. No show for Briscoe tonight because it's the Chiefs game.
Oh, he's not going to preempt the game?
He should. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we go on the air with Chiefs at like 4:30.
Yeah, that's why Binkley's doing Carrington show today. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Like, oh yeah, that's right, 4 o'clock with the pregame or whatever it is, right?
Yeah. Carrington's just like, yeah, why don't you just go ahead and do it, Bink?
Hey, I know you guys are going to be up there fixing the TVs. You
know, TV did get fixed.
Yes, the TV did get fixed finally. Thank you, Jay.
I think this is a good little text here because I have said from I think preseason that I want the Chiefs and the Lions to play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's the most best matchup.
Yeah, and not only that, but like if the Chiefs can win that game, they officially become hated by the world.
No,
not
God
just
yes.
like, you know, certain states in the United States that are just anti-Chiefs because either division or AFC, whatever it may be. This is like setting everything up like for Simba and the Lion King, no pun intended. But like, there you go, Detroit. You finally got out of it. You're 7-1.
Doesn't he play for San Francisco?
Yeah. You're 7-1. You're finally here. Everything the light touches is yours right now, except the shadow area, which is at Arrowhead, which you don't have to worry about going there. But I feel like it's being set up, especially from what we're seeing on TV, Detroit, hands down, best teams, what Rex Ryan said earlier this morning.
With his new teeth or old teeth?
Definitely new.
Was he licking feet?
Not yet. When he gets the job as the Jets head coach, he'll go back to that.
Oh, God, that'll be great.
Uh-huh. And I think that, and that gets everybody around it. It's the new shiny toy. I mean, I know they've been good for a couple of years now, but this is like a year where it's like, they could do it. They could really, really do it. They're blowing teams out. They're winning on the road. They're winning in their division. They beat Minnesota. They beat Green Bay. They've all but locked up the North. And they're the Chiefs of the NFC this year. And then if the Chiefs play them in the Super Bowl and the Chiefs beat Detroit, the first time they've ever get to the Super Bowl, the first chance they've actually had to win a Lombardi trophy, everyone will be like, F that team.
The Lions right now are the 2019 version of the Chiefs, where everybody was rooting for them because they hadn't won anything in 50
years. And everybody's
years,
tired
right?
of Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Tired of that nonsense, ready to move on. It's over. Let's go. Somebody new, somebody new, somebody new. And the Lions are very likable. You know, by the day, people are becoming golfers. You know, like, I mean, God, everybody loves that. Everybody loves Dan Campbell,
also,
right?
Also, 11 for 11 and 85 yards.
Hey, still 11 for 11.
I guess. You know? Yeah. I know we were talking about it. I was like,
I mean, 11
He's
for
Alex
11.
Smith.
Yeah.
Can he win in the big game?
We'll see. He's already been to a Super Bowl. Alex Smith never did do that, right?
Yeah.
So if he takes another team to the Super Bowl, you got to start talking about Hall of Fame, you know, for Goff. But everybody loves Dan Campbell, right?
Hall of Fame for Goff.
If he takes two teams to a Super Bowl,
but no wins? I think so.
Yeah, I still think he took two teams to a Super Bowl. That's impressive. You turned two organizations around.
Do you think Joe Flacco's a Hall of Famer?
He did not turn the Rams around.
No. Yeah, like they had Todd Gurley. They rode the coattails of one of the best
running backs.
Todd Gurley blew out his knees and, you know.
He did. You think Flacco's a Hall of Famer?
Well, he's I never thought about it. I mean, the longevity.
I don't think Goff is in. That's just me. I don't think Alex Smith is in.
What if he beats the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? No, Alex Smith is not a Hall of Famer.
No.
Not at all. Not even close.
I don't think they can beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
I don't think they can either.
But,
if they did? Well, and this isn't like, his career is not over, you know, this year.
He's still have a good record versus Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, I wish Therese were still around because we could ask him that because Therese was so good at knowing.
He's a Detroit native.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah.
He'd be like, damn it, don't do this to me, man.
Yeah, like Therese was so good at knowing right away if somebody was good. And he was on the committee and he voted. So you get all that background information. And I love talking
to
him about
certain players. Well, the text might let you know if you're right or wrong.
Because they're in the Hall of Fame committee.
Ask Josh Briscoe. You can ask him if he thinks he's a Hall of Famer because he's with us now, the editor of Chiefs on SI.com, our Chiefs contributor, Josh Briscoe.
But also, too, the Super Bowl matchup, Josh, you would agree, if we don't get it, America loses, right? Like, America is owed this Super Bowl between Detroit and Kansas City, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, it's one plate of cheeseburgers versus a plate of kneecaps. Like, that really does feel on so many levels like the Super Bowl we do all really deserve here.
There's nobody better, though, than these two teams in the NFL, and it's not even close. The Lions and the Chiefs are in a category all by themselves, and then there are 30 other teams that are just kind of there saying, hey, we're still around, or hey, we just fired our coach.
Right. And the interesting thing about the midway point that we're at now, and I think the Lions can say this, and certainly the Chiefs can, is that you can sort of cycle through that, like, contender status, right? Where it's like, oh, we're good. We're 4-2, or maybe we're the New Orleans Saints, and we had a couple of big wins to start the season. We're all contenders right now. Well, at this point, you can actually look at consistency at the level of opponents and at where you've arrived at this point and how you've gotten there, which always does matter as well. The Lions losing to a very different Buccaneers team near the beginning of the season than what the Chiefs are going to see tonight. they've proven time and time and time again that they do belong in that conversation. They are the class of the NFC. I think here we've understood that the Chiefs are still the class of the AFC, even though it's looked different than it has at other times in years past. They're the two best teams in football. They're the two most fun teams in football. I can't wait to get, I don't know, what, Niners Bills or something? I don't want that. I want Chiefs Lions.
Yes. Niners Bills, I don't know that I'd be paying much attention to that.
Putting your meteorologist hat on, which I know that you're pretty good at. Yeah. I don't know what that means. I really don't. Sloppy game tonight. Looks like rain all the way up until about halftime, or maybe a little bit before that it'll stop. But like, what's that do to tonight's game, if anything, to either one of these teams?
I think it probably just underlines what I had been assuming the Chiefs offense was going to look like anyway, which was still plenty of shots to DeAndre Hopkins, getting him more involved and trying to run through Travis Kelce and trying to find Xavier Worthy. They'll keep doing all of that. This isn't going to be that Patriots game from a year or two ago where they threw the ball like three times. But I do think that with as poor as the Buccaneers' run defense has been, even with Vita Vea being a fabulous player, their run defense has been terrible. The Chiefs have been able to run the ball very consistently and very effectively, like we've all talked about ad nauseum now this season. Kind of a funny thing to get sick of talking about, considering that how difficult it is to actually achieve that. The Chiefs are there, though. I think this is going to be a game where you do see another heavy Kareem Hunt workload. Maybe it's a little bit scary for a rookie with a fumbling problem in the rain, but I think Carson Steele probably gets a little bit more of a workload in here as well. We got the report yesterday of looking at that late November, early December window for Isaiah Pacheco. You got to keep Kareem Hunt as fresh as possible to that point. But I really think this could be a game where the Chiefs just try to do the least chaotic things, trying to keep their margin for error a little bit wider and just ground and pound through this. I think we could see a lower scoring game on account of the way that both teams were probably going to play this anyway. Also considering, of course, that the Buccaneers are unfortunately so different than they were when they have a healthy Chris Godwin and a healthy Mike Evans.
It's also fun to watch Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes go back and forth with each other too, right? Like, yeah. They're two of the more exciting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, I think Baker, Geno, Jordan Love, some of those guys that have the high ceiling, low floor kind of chaos in their moments are a special fun type of quarterbacking to watch. I'm not mentioning Mahomes in there. Sometimes I'll put Josh Allen in there, but like I'm kind of purposefully including where the things that make you cover your eyes as a fan of a team, you just lean closer to the TV when you're not rooting for that team. So embrace all of the chaos that some of these kind of gunslinger types can bring. Nobody's been better at that, or at least nobody's been a lot better than that this year than Baker. You get him on the run looking like a better athlete than he should be considering himself to be, and he makes it happen. And of course, he and Mahomes do have that history and do have whatever those late 2010s college football Big 12 genes that you get that occasionally make you decide you will not have a defense and you must put up 40 points. That's in both of those guys. And I'd love to see them sling it around. I'm just, at this point, the way that both of these offenses are kind of converging, I'm not sure we're going to see 42-40, although I would be interested in seeing that, despite what it would mean for Steve Spagnuolo's defense.
Who has the biggest game on the offensive side for the Chiefs tonight?
I mean, if I'm going amongst all skill position players, I think I would go Kareem Hunt, because I am kind of buying in on the idea of just running the ball out. I think if I'm going to go pass catcher, this does still feel like it could be a Travis Kelce game again. This Buccaneers defense is not good right now.
No.
And so being able to exploit their miscommunications and everything, that feels like a Kelce special. I hope they do spend a little time kind of forcing the issue a little bit with DeAndre Hopkins, not at the risk of, you know, the offense continuing to move the ball, but they looked pretty good last week. Just keep that relationship moving. I'd love to see a deep shot to Xavier Worthy, just to establish that it is something you can do, that you are willing to do. But I think Kareem Hunt is like player of the game prediction for me right now. I just think we could see another 20 some carries for a brutally efficient 4 yards per touch.
Nice.
Just continuing to move the sticks for this team.
Josh Briscoe, the editor of Chiefs on SI.com, our Chiefs contributor here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, the game tonight, coverage begins around 4:00. Also, tomorrow, obviously, a big day. It is trade deadline day in the NFL. I think 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon is the deadline. Do you think now that Dennis Allen was traded, Marshawn Lattimore will be traded to Kansas City?
I think that the Saints should trade Marshawn Lattimore. Unless I have heard totally wrong things about the price the Saints would
wow,
like.
Wow, yes.
I, I do not think he'll be a Chief. I think if, now look, here's the thing is very frequently in these hypothetical trade situations, especially if you're coming from the side of the team wanting to trade a player away, you inflate what you're expecting a little bit. Here's the thing for me. Lattimore is 1 year older than L'Jarius Sneed, and he still has real money on this contract. It's not a 1 year rental, and it's not a long-term bargain either. I don't think the Chiefs are going to trade for a slightly worse player, or at least a guy who's a less perfect fit in Steve Spagnuolo's defense a few months after they traded away L'Jarius Sneed for a third. I don't think there's any world in which they're giving up a second or a third for Lattimore. If the Saints say, hey, we want to move away from this and you guys can figure out the cap money, maybe there's something there, but I think this team fully intends to extend Trent McDuffie. I don't think they want to be doing that math with a Lattimore or any other highly paid corner. If they're going to make a move, I think it's going to be either a rental or a younger player, somebody with more... easier to stomach financials from the cornerback position. I do not think there's going to be a day two pick involved, though.
So do you think that we do see a move for the Chiefs before the trade deadline or not?
I would unconfidently bet on no. They've surprised me a little bit a couple of times already. I thought they would trade for a receiver. I didn't think it'd be Hopkins. I thought they could certainly add on defense. I did not expect it to be Uche. At this point, I would lean towards them not making that move, but, and this is an overreacting way to do things, bad teams make decisions this way. I don't think it'd be terrible for the Chiefs. If Joshua Williams looks really out of sorts tonight, maybe they do sort of think, all right, we'll go ahead and make one more round of calls, but they expect to have Nazi Johnson back, I would imagine, next week. Williams has played real meaningful moments for this team, so he's not a total unknown. He's not a total rookie. I think corner is the group they think they could get away without adding at. Losing Jalen Watson certainly stinks, but Williams was a part of the plan when they did make that Sneed trade. So I think they're going to give him a shot to hold on to that job, and it doesn't really bother me if they do. I think that could work out fine. I'm glad they prioritized the way that they did so far.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see what Hicks and Connors do tonight in the game with, like, you know, their young, you know, high ceiling. It'd be kind of nice to see what they can do tonight, and also target Cade Otton, because I think that's going to be the guy that gets a ton of action from Baker Mayfield tonight. Hey, stay dry. No show tonight, right? Do you get your show tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, 7 to 9, we'll be live, and we're going to do 2 hours of honest-to-God football talk and whatever else is going on. We're in a bubble, baby. Yeah. We're in a bubble in that studio. We're gonna enjoy the fact that the Chiefs have just traded for Marshawn Lattimore after rising to 8-0 after blowing out the Buccaneers 42-0.
I like that. I'm good.
That move to the Chiefs is simply too good. All right, Mr. Briscoe, we will talk to you next Monday, buddy.
Appreciate you, fellas.
No problem at all. Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor there from SI.com.
Do you know who was named the head coach of the Saints?
They've already did it.
Oh, God, yes. They're they're interim.
Jim Haslett.
No, that would be great. I love Jim. Do you know who it was, Mac?
I don't.
Okay. I'm going to tell you the name. You're still not going to know. Darren Rizzi.
Never heard of him.
Juice all over the place.
Oh, there's juice all over the place.
Never heard of him.
I like the juice all over the place.
Darren Rizzi.
He's got some Riz?
Who?
He's the Rizzler?
The Rizzler. Is he an offense? Like,
I think he was their special teams coach.
I'm still hungry.
It still does, yeah. Still, yeah.
I mean, I could smash those Ben Maller chicken fingers right meow. You say meow?
No. You did, yeah.
I said right meow. Mm-hmm. Coming up on the other side, this show's already over, guys. I don't know if you know that or not. I mean, I could do Cody and Gold. We could do another four if you want.
Yeah, I'm good. No, oh, okay. They can have it.
Bob, okay, so just we won't have Bob. Just you and I?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Nah, Cody and Gold are on from 2 to 2. But coming up on the other side, our brioche of the weekend, and somebody put something in our rundown that makes absolutely zero sense. Dusty Likers, Bob Fesco, and Mac Morey. You listen to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM Sports Station, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back here on Fesco and Dusty as we will get to our brioche of the weekend. Mac's such a cute guy, man. He puts in the rundown. Hey, by the way, guys, KU opens their season tonight against Howard.
I didn't know.
Well, now you know.
Thank God.
College basketball's back.
What do you think the views will be on that game? Less than 500,000?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, where's that even on? 38
plus, it's got to be like on 38th plus or something, right? Yeah. It's got to be on ESPN plus, I would imagine, at this point in time, because obviously it's not on ESPN with tonight's game. And the Chiefs, like, I mean, college basketball regular season doesn't do great anyway. KU still gets a good number college basketball-wise, you know, for ESPN, about 800,000 a game or something like that. It's not a huge, huge number. But college basketball, call me in March. We'll talk.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll talk in March, you know. I mean, who doesn't, though, get excited for KU v. Howard to open the season? Howard who? The Duck?
Howard Hughes?
UNC Friday, that'll get better numbers.
Yeah, they play North UNC Friday night. Yeah.
Yeah, because Drew was out there. He's like, tonight we get number 6 versus number 8, baby. I'm like, if you are this excited for college basketball right now, I can't continue this conversation. I was like, we have the Bucks versus the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Friday night, I'm making candles. I won't see that North Carolina.
Friday night, I'm going to go see some high school football, man.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, Blue Springs. My alma mater plays Blue Springs South.
That's a big one.
Yeah, district game, I think. And then a couple of my friends were on the Blue Springs South state championship team from 07, 2007. Mm. And they get some perks. So I'm going to go down there on the field and watch that game. Nice. I hope my Wildcats can beat the Jags. Probably won't happen, but...
Who knows? You never know. Hey, Olathe East beat Olathe North over the weekend, mm-hmm. too. So anything is possible. So don't count your team out.
It is a rivalry game. It's the playoffs, so it could be different.
Yeah.
South has a pretty good quarterback. He can, like, do it all. But I'm super excited for Friday night. I love Friday Night Lights.
It's fun.
When you're there and you go there every once in a while, like I don't go every week. I go to probably one game a year. This will be my game this year. Last year I went to Lee Summit versus Lee Summit North because it's just right down the street from it. I could walk.
You could walk to it, yeah.
So it was nice. Brioche of the weekend, though. Do you guys have any brioches this weekend? I know Max got a few, but I don't know if they're ready for
Howard,
the
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, Jamie Howard.
Of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah, good take.
It's got to be Darren Rizzi, right? That's got to be your... Do you remember who he was?
That didn't happen over the weekend.
You remember who he was? I'm going to get this one started kind of in a serious note.
Okay.
My brioche of the weekend goes to Chad from the Westin. He's the general manager at the Westin down Crown Center, mm-hmm. With Tammy's boss. And he won GM of the year for hotel GMs in all of Kansas City.
Nice.
And the reason he won is because of the way he handled the parade shooting. And
oh, really?
He saved lives that day. My family included. Damn. And so when that parade shooting went down, he took over and took control and kept everybody in that hotel safe that was in there and secure.
Right. Jen was there.
And she was down there with the girls, mm-hmm. and I didn't know where they were. But Chad's a boss, man. Let me just tell you, man, he saved lives on the day of the parade for the way that he responded, the way he kept cool, the way he locked down that hotel, made sure everybody was safe inside that hotel. And for a time, they thought the gunman may have been running around in the hotel and whatnot. And so
I was texting you that day.
He was the leader of that whole situation down there in Kansas City that kept that thing as calm as they possibly could have in a situation like that. And for that, he was awarded the Kansas City Hotel GM of the Year for every hotel in Kansas City. So Chad is a great human being. He's been a confidant for me. He's been a great boss for one of my best friends and Tammy. And the way that he handled the parade situation that day and keeping people safe and sound and secure.
Awesome.
Awesome, man. So Chad, I love you, my man. You deserve every award that you get, and you're just a great human being.
Hey,
so shout out to Chad.
You know how I sign off on the show every day.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, doing nice things. Yeah. You never know. You know how many lives he probably changed that day?
Seriously.
Saved?
Tammy told me yesterday, roughly, and again, it's just a number, but you don't know. She's like, she probably saved over 150 lives that day just by having that situation the way that it was and the way that they locked down the hotel and kept everybody safe and everybody was in their rooms making announcements, letting everybody know where to go, where to be, how to, you know, the whole thing. Like, he navigated that thing. Like, there's no playbook for obviously something like that, but it's nice to see that that he got recognized for his performance in the way that he handled that situation. So just unbelievable job by Chad down at the Westin.
Shout out Chad.
And the ability to like stay calm and composed and be able to lead people and doing make sure Lord's everyone work, knows
man.
It's okay. Yeah, that's amazing.
That's the way you got to do it.
It's
man.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's not easy. Oh. It's easy to be a leader when things are great, but when things go haywire and things go, you know, in a direction that you never were expected, that's when you see true leadership, and that's Chad down at the Westin. So
he went full Mahomes with 13 seconds left.
He did, yeah.
You want to follow that up?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, seriously. I guess.
So back to sports.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, big sports guy.
I'm the whole D-bag this segment. I'm going to go Saquon Barkley. He's my brioche. I don't think he's the best running back.
Who is?
Derrick Henry.
Okay.
I'd rather have Saquon because of like how I'd run my offense, but I think Derrick's better. Yeah, versatility. But that backwards
versatility,
hurt.
Huh?
Versatility.
Most people would take versatility.
Versatility. It kills you.
Yeah.
That backwards hurt. I've literally never seen anything like that in my life. That backwards hurt. If you have not seen that backwards hurdle, if you're listening right now, please like pull over, do whatever, be safe, but like Google that play.
It just looks better in the Kelly Green too.
Ooh, oh, so good.
Those silver pants.
Oh, the eagle on the helmet. Like, God, so good.
Were they wear the wings.
Yeah, the wings. Yeah. Whatever that is.
Gosh.
Oh, that was childhood. Them and the Giants wearing their throwbacks yesterday,
too. I feel
too.
Like that probably would have been your brioche if Chad didn't take over.
Well, yeah.
You probably.
Got to go with the throwback uniforms.
Well, I got to do it the only dusty way I know how to do the brioche. Motor City Pizza is the best frozen pizza in the game, and it's not even close.
Okay.
It's at Hy-Vee. It's right. at Costco. Costco, you can get the double box. It's at Hy-Vee. It's $10. Frozen aisle.
Oh, I've had that Motor City Dude. Pizza. That stuff is legit. Yeah, Dude. Their cheese bread is good, too.
It's nuts. Yeah. It's Detroit's type. It's
like, no, it is good, yeah.
I had it, I think it was Saturday. So I went out and saw Binkley and Danon and Mitch Schwartz at Buffalo Wild Wings. And Sarah down in sales like, hey, we have a tab. If you want food, you can have food. I was like, well, I'm not going to stay too long. I got to get home. She's like, take it with you to go. So I took home Buffalo Wild Wings wings
nice.
And then had Motor City Pizza and after the garage.
Mm-hmm. What a night.
And, oh, dude, it was, I mean, I sat there and I think three different times I told like this dude that was there with me, I was just like, this is number one.
It is really good. Pizza comes from that tray. You bake it in, yeah, and it's got the perfect amount of grease, the cheese, the crust ratio.
There is no crust. Good. It's just melted cheese.
It's really good.
And the tip to it is you have to do this. You take it out of the tray that you put it in the oven on, and you take the cheese that fell off, and you sprinkle that on top. Otherwise, that cheese will burn, and it'll burn the bottom of your pizza that happened the first time. I've had this pizza
You
like
didn't
six
bake
times.
It in that thing?
No, I did, but I took it out and took the cheese that was underneath there. Put it on top of the pizza, then put it back on the baking tray.
Oh, put it back on the baking tray. I was like, how did you have like a pizza stone where you put it back in for the last couple of minutes or something?
No, I'm not that sophisticated. But yeah, Motor City Pizza is the best frozen.
You're right, man. It's good. Dude. Yeah, the cheese bread. Get the cheese
that
bread.
That too. And then go to Smokehouse and get ranch. And you'll be set.
Pour it all over.
I mean, you'll be big as hell. But I don't know if I've had a better frozen. Because I used to, I mean, I grew up on like Jack's and Tombstones and
Red Baron. Eat a whole tombstone by myself.
Duh. Like, I'd fold that thing like a taco and just eat it.
Why were you 300 pounds? Well, I mean, a whole tombstone every day.
Woo. Motor City Pizza, dude. If you have one at your house, lock me up. Like, arrest my ankles to my wrist because I will eat the entire thing. Oh, it's great.
You're right, though. When you put that in the red, I'm like, Motor City Pizza. I'm like, oh, that,
black box. Red lettering. If you have a Costco car, they sell it in a two bundle. It's great. It's like $15 for two pizzas. You'll smash.
I know what I'm getting tonight.
You'll absolutely
I totally would. There's a Hy-Vee right there.
Yeah. I'm going to eat it. Let's
cut
go.
It out. Yeah.
But can you eat Detroit-style pizza when they're our rival now?
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, they're not a rival.
I know, but I guarantee you somebody's going, I don't know, Detroit's going to beat us. You can't have Detroit-style pizza.
If that stuff was called Denver pizza, I'd smash.
You'd smash. I've had somebody say, I can't believe you would buy a Bronco living in Kansas City.
What?
Oh, God, yes.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. I'm telling you, these people exist.
Wow.
Up in them thar hills.
I guess.
Shit about the Chief.
Sean's Frozen Pizzas, legit. Is that how you say that? Oh, Schwan's.
They went out of business, didn't they?
Did they?
I thought the Schwan's man went out of business. I swear I saw that.
I think like my dad went like a free year's delivery supply of Schwan's, and we used to get it all the time. And
so
I thought
Schwan's
it was
would just show up at your house, like
random.
Just walking,
they would just show up in the truck, get out, and they'd be like, your package is here. I'm like, what is this? My dad's like, frozen food. Don't complain. It's free. I was like,
All right.
Frozen mac and cheese. Never tasted so terrible.
That doesn't sound good at all.
It's not. It's like, I just make it out of the box. You can get one at, I think you can get Hy-Vee's mac and cheese for like 74 cents.
Our guy,
great stuff,
Jayhawk
too.
For Life, bought a frozen mac and cheese entree when I was at Hy-Vee a couple weeks ago. He came out and showed me Dolly Parton mac and cheese.
Wow.
Comes with a side of Jugs.
I don't know why it was Dolly Parton approved. But
okay. Would you?
Yeah.
You wouldn't Martha Stewart, but you would Dolly Parton?
No, I didn't say I wouldn't.
Oh, okay. I don't want to get in trouble. Tuesday's tomorrow. I don't want to ruin that day.
Hey, we had
a
good weekend.
Oh. You're going to get it early. That's what he told me. That's what he told me today.
There's a tornado.
Again, that was not me. That was somebody else. Charlamagne. But yeah, not me. You know, Bob said it earlier. I'm going to say it again. Go do nice things for people. You never know. Could change their day, week, month, or year. It's cool to care. Kansas City, I mean this with the bottom of my heart. Stay safe. Stay kind. Go Chiefs. Alex and Cody next here on 96.5 The Fan.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.